The High Commissioner is alarmed by reports suggesting that at least 45 people have been detained, including elected parliamentarians under confinement.
Myanmar democracy takes a huge step backward. It's Tuesday, February 2nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, U.S. leaders debate COVID aid. South Korea to redefine families. Seeing through a photographer's lens, a young Japanese sumo wrestler. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Myanmar's military seized control of the country Monday under a state of emergency set to last 1 year and detained senior politicians, including the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. An announcement read on military television said the seizure was necessary because the government had not acted on claims of voter fraud in November elections. It said new elections would follow at the end of 1 year, with the military handing power to the winner. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
Monday in Myanmar, police vehicles lined the streets of Yangon just hours after a military takeover and a declaration of a state of emergency. The military arrested Myanmar's de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi and other officials from the ruling National League for Democracy Party in an early morning raid. In Bangkok, police clashed with demonstrators in the Thai capital protesting military takeover. Police arrested at least two people. Demonstrators expressed their displeasure with the developments in Myanmar.
Our Myanmar government is very bad and then always bullying our public people. Now we have to work in other country and they don't care anybody from Myanmar people. They are very bad. Please help us.
As the protests in Bangkok took place, the events in Myanmar were widely condemned by many governments around the world. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken called on the military to immediately reverse its actions. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Residents in Yangon lined up at ATMs to withdraw cash. Banks suspended services but said they would reopen from Tuesday. The military takeover follows days of concerns as troops have been increasing their presence in the streets. A spokesman for Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party said President Win Myint was among the others taken into custody Monday, which was supposed to be the first meeting of parliament after the NLD's landslide victory in the November elections. U.S. President Joe Biden said in a statement that the United States would immediately review sanctions laws and take appropriate action. He said the United States removed sanctions on Myanmar over the past decade based on progress toward democracy. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres urged Myanmar's military leadership to resolve any differences through peaceful dialogue. Ravina Shamdasani is spokesperson for the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights.
The High Commissioner is alarmed by reports suggesting that at least 45 people have been detained, including elected parliamentarians under confinement, and we call for their immediate release. There are also disturbing reports of journalists being harassed or attacked and restrictions on the internet and social media, which will restrict access to information and freedom of expression at this critical and frightening time for the people of Myanmar. Given the security presence on the streets in the capital, Naypyidaw, as well as in other cities, there are deep fears of a violent crackdown on dissenting voices. The High Commissioner reminds the military leadership that Myanmar is bound by international human rights law, including to respect the right to peaceful assembly and to refrain from using unnecessary or excessive force. The High Commissioner urges the international community to stand in solidarity with the people of Myanmar at this time, and for all states with influence to take steps to prevent the crumbling of the fragile democratic and human rights gains made by Myanmar during its transition from military rule.
The UN Security Council will meet later Tuesday. The European Union, Britain, Australia, India, and Singapore all express their concerns about the situation in Myanmar. Human rights groups also objected. In the past week, Myanmar's military had dismissed rumors it would launch a coup after the military's commander-in-chief told senior officers that the constitution, which outlaws a coup, could be revoked if the laws were not being properly enforced. We'll hear more about how Myanmar has arrived at this point in just a moment on VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOANews.com. Military takeover in Myanmar, civilian leaders jailed. Hopes plummet on success of intra-Afghan peace talks. NATO sources say foreign troops to stay in Afghanistan beyond May deadline. Chinese ships dredge in waters claimed by Taiwan, perhaps a new weapon. WHO visits center in charge of early COVID outbreak. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. For perspective on the events that have led to the military coup in Myanmar, we hear from Yun Soon, Senior Fellow and Co-Director of China East Asia at the Stimson Center, speaking with VOA's Adriana Zhang.
Well, I always argue that the most essential problem for Myanmar is the unsettled relationship between the civilian government and the Burmese military. So that conflict has never disappeared, even with the democratic process in the past 10 years. So what kind of relationship they will have, what kind of hierarchy that they can achieve, and what kind of power arrangement, political arrangement that they can finally arrive at, that has been the question that has determined the domestic politics in Myanmar for the past, I would say, several decades. And it has become more and more acute in the past 5 years with NLD government. So given the most recent catalyst is the November election, we know that NLD government won 83% landslide victory in the election. And to the military's great disappointment, USDP, the Union Solidarity and Development Party that the military supports, only won a couple of seats. So they did not do very well in the election. So I think the military has raised the issue of election fraud and voting fraud as a tactic or as a strategy to challenge the election result in order to raise the prospect or the possibility of a recount or even a new election, in the hope that the USDP would gain more seats and the military will be able to have more support in the parliament, because military has 25% of the seats in the parliament by default to begin with. So I think what we are seeing is the military lodged their complaints, expressed their grievances, and demanded political concession from the NLD government, and the NLD government refused to accommodate or refused to be co-opted, to be coerced. And we know that over the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, negotiations between the military and the NLD did happen, and they were not able to achieve a consensus as to what kind of compromise either side is willing to accept. So that's what has caused the military coup as we know it since the beginning, the dawn of February 1st, which is earlier today.
So you do think this is a coup?
I think all the signs and all the evidence that we have seen so far point to the fact that this is a coup.
So it's not just the military seizing power in accordance with the constitution?
That is an interesting question. So the question that you asked is basically saying, if the military was acting according to the constitution, then it's not a coup. I think that's highly debatable. Because, for example, the constitution says only the president has the power to announce the state of emergency in the country. And we also know that by the time that the military announced the state of emergency, the president has already been detained and arrested. So it is the interim president appointed by the military that came out and made that announcement about the state of emergency. So I think that raises the interesting question that do you think the military really followed the constitution? Because by constitution, it should be the president making that announcement, not an interim president that's appointed by the military. So it cannot be both the umpire, you cannot be both the referee and the player. Well, in this case, I would say that the military did appoint the vice president from the military to be the interim president and then announce the state of emergency, which is not, strictly speaking, constitutional.
Yun Soon, senior fellow and co-director of China East Asia at the Stimson Center, speaking with VOA's Adriana Zhang. Happening now in Asia, a verified Facebook account from Myanmar's National League for Democracy Party published a statement on behalf of detained leader Aung San Suu Kyi, saying people should not accept a coup and should protest. Reuters reports the party posted the statement before the takeover occurred. It could not reach officials for comment. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy to have you with us today on VOA Asia. U.S. congressional leaders are set to open debate this week on a COVID-19 economic relief measure as vaccinations continue nationwide. Michelle Quinn reports.
In the United States, coronavirus cases have been dropping, along with hospitalizations. Still, January was a deadly month, with more than 90,000 lives lost to the COVID-19 disease caused by the virus. The vaccine rollout has been chaotic and raised questions about who is receiving the vaccine.
Can we get vaccines to those people who are at the greatest risk of being infected, being hospitalized, and dying?
Pressure is on Congress to get more money to states to help with the vaccination effort and to help people who are suffering economically. Congress this week is expected to take up President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill, a broad package that includes money for a national vaccination program and expansion of unemployment payments. The question is whether Republicans will support the package.
I support passing COVID relief with support from Republicans if we can get it, but the COVID relief has to pass. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Many Republican lawmakers have balked at the legislation's price tag and question whether all the spending is necessary. 10 Republican senators wrote a letter to Biden Sunday asking for a compromise and offering a counterproposal of about one-third of what Democratic leaders are seeking. One of them, Senator Bill Cassidy, a Republican from Louisiana, said on Fox News Sunday that Biden was pursuing not real unity, but the patina of bipartisanship. Democrats say they will seek a process that will allow them to pass the bill with a slim majority. Senator Bernie Sanders is an independent from Vermont and the incoming Senate Budget Committee chair.
If Republicans want to work with us, they have better ideas on how to address those crises, that's great. But to be honest with you, I have not yet heard that.
The window for moving fast on the legislation may be temporarily closing. The February 9th Senate impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump could slow lawmakers' work. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, Vietnam's president has defended his party's anti-corruption campaign and vowed to try his best after he was re-elected for a rare third term as Communist Party Secretary at the conclusion of a five-yearly Congress. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, South Korea plans to redefine what it means to be a family. The proposal will include various kinds of non-traditional unions, but same-sex partners are excluded, as we hear from Jason Strother in Seoul.
Kim Ju-won and her partner Park Sun-min have lived together with their six rescue cats for 5 years. But the two women don't tell everyone they're a couple because of prejudice towards South Korea's LGBTQ community. Kim, who's 30, says there's also legal discrimination. Same-sex marriage is banned in South Korea. She says she started thinking about her future, like getting married and having kids. But those aspirations are limited because they don't have equal rights. The government plans to expand the legal definition of family to include single parents as well as unmarried couples living together. But an official with the Ministry of Gender Equality and Family tells VOA News that this will not include same-sex partners. 36-year-old Park says that's unfair because it excludes them from many of the legal and financial benefits offered to straight couples. She says we consider each other life partners and want to live together and be treated the same as straight couples. Grace Chung, a professor at Seoul National University's Department of Family Studies, says in the government's eyes, same-sex families don't exist.
They do exist. Even though they're in the shadow, they still, same-sex couples raise children together, but they can't get legal protection. They're not recognized.
Chung adds there's no law to protect the LGBTQ community from discrimination in South Korea. Seoul is broadening the legal definition of family in hopes of averting a demographic crisis. Last year, the country's population decreased for the first time, and the number of marriages and births are on a downward trend, according to official data. Surveys indicate that the cost of raising a child discourages many couples from starting families. Revising the legal definition of family would make more people eligible for economic incentives. Next year, the government will give cash bonuses to expecting couples and increase child care stipends. But Chung says incentives aren't working.
Statistics clearly show that birth rate isn't increasing, even with all the government policies that encourage, married couples to have kids or to have more kids. But no good solutions yet.
Chung adds that by denying legal rights to same-sex couples, the government is blocking the creation of more families. Jason Strother for VOA News, Seoul.
Making headlines in Asia, Japanese manufacturers stepped up the production of freezers to store COVID-19 vaccine doses as the government readied plans to roll out the shots to inoculate medical workers beginning late February. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Gina Moon has seen it all as a New York-based still photographer for Reuters News. Anna Nelson has more on what Moon has seen from behind the camera lens in this story narrated by Anna Rice.
A Christmas music concert on the steps of New York's historic Episcopal Cathedral, St. John the Divine, was held in the fresh air because of the coronavirus restrictions. The performance was coming to an end when some, including a VOA journalist with her child, stayed behind to see the inside of the cathedral.
Mama!
Suddenly, there were a couple of loud bangs. People started running away, terrified, hiding behind cars and trees. A man standing by the church front door holding two guns and wearing a hat and a mask was shooting into the air. He was then shot and killed by the police. The picture which told the story was taken by Reuters photographer Gina Moon.
But I couldn't see him because he was right on the corner. I know there is a car over there behind me on the street. So I was moving on to the side. And I see the guy over there, and I was trying to hiding like this, and then they shoot like that. There's no time to get scared, you have to understand what's going on, and then I just thinking, oh, I'm here, but what should I do? I have to shoot, Guy with the woman was the whole embracing. I think it was behind the tree over there. They don't even look at this side because they're just scared. It feels unreal. I feel I photographed something, movie scene I just capture, It shouldn't happen to at a really nice day.
Gina Moon is 39. Born in Seoul, South Korea, she would have had a very traditional life had she not decided at the age of 20 to leave the country with no money and connections. She came to the U.S., got into a university where she studied art history. And then one day, her professor showed the class a film about military photographer James Nachtwey.
I did not want to see this.
Would I cut and run, or would I deal with the responsibility of being there with a camera?
That's when Moon realized how powerful photography was. She decided to change her career path and graduated from the International Center of Photography School in New York. It took her half a decade and hard work to turn from an unknown photographer to one that's known and respected by Getty Images, Bloomberg, AP, and Reuters.
And I think the many decades journalism used to be mostly male occupied. I see it is getting better and better, but still female journalists are still working long distance to go to reach equal right. I think as an Asian female photographer, I have to work twice or three times harder than other photographer.
For Moon, being strong and brave doesn't mean there's no fear.
Yeah, I was very shaking, and my heartbeat was so fast. Like, it's very hard to breathe. And I talked to my editor, like, oh my God, there's a gunshot. I don't know. Oh my God. And then my editor said, like, deep breathe and then take your time. You know, and there's no rush. Deep breathe. And he makes me really, like, comfort for me. So
after she took those pictures that made newspaper front pages, Reuters sent Moon a letter saying how proud they were of her work and her courage. Moon likes to quote one of her favorite photojournalists, Hungarian-American Robert Capa, who said, "If your pictures aren't good enough, you aren't close enough, even if that closeness comes with personal risk." For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
At twice the size of other kids of his age, a young champion sumo wrestler in Japan can shove around his older counterparts. He trains with his dad and sets his sights on one day dominating the national sport. VOA's Arash Arabisadi tells us more.
At just 10 years old, Japan's Kyuta Kumagai is already a world champion sumo wrestler. He weighs 85 kilograms, eats as much as 4,000 calories a day, and beats boys 5 and 6 years older than him.
It's fun to beat people older than me.
Kumagai trains 6 days a week at a local temple, lifting weights and working on his flexibility. It often leaves him breathless, bloody, and crying. His dad, Taisuke, entered his son in his first tournament when Kyuta was just in kindergarten.
I didn't teach him anything. He could do various things naturally. There's a talent for sumo, and he has that talent. He won the tournament. I thought he may have something special.
Dr. Daniel Gould is director of the Institute for the Study of Youth Sports at Michigan State University. He says parents pushing children in sports should consider more than early wins.
We always tell parents, you want to be kind of thinking of your kid, where are they in their cognitive development? Where are they in their emotional development, social development? Where are they in their physical development? If you're going to play them up an age group or in a, you know, send them away from home to train, you really want to be looking at those three boxes and make sure they're all this, you know, all ticked off.
Taisuke Kumagai moved his family to a part of Tokyo famous for producing sumo wrestlers. Now Kyuta trains with former professional sumo wrestler Shinichi Taira.
He has great talent. He's a hard worker and his parents are very enthusiastic. I think that's why he won the national competition. His future will be interesting.
Training can be expensive, but Taisuke says instead of gambling, he's betting big on his son. He also says Kyuta needs to gain another 20 kilograms over the next 2 years by the time he reaches middle school. The hope is for a high-profile sumo stable to take him in. Experts like Michigan State's Dr. Gould say that decision should be driven by the young athlete. Arash Arabisadi, VOA News, Washington.
Stay up to date with the fast-changing developments in Myanmar with VOA Asia online as we continue to follow the story on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank you for joining us today, and we thank our VOA Asia team that helps bring you this program, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.